Accession number 31439, Mr. Tom Latham, Reel 2. Now, we're talking about your time in, you know, in Dagenham, and you're working as a apprentice core maker and then moulder at the Iron Foundry. What about your recreations as a young lad, 14 to 18? I mean, what did you do? You went cycling.
That was the main thing. That was it, yes. Yes, there was no other sport.
You didn't go to dance halls or anything like that?
No.
Did you drink at all? I know you weren't
No, didn't drink, no.
So tell me about the call-up. What is the whole procedure of the call-up? Because, how did you feel about it? You knew it was coming.
Yes. I got the call-up papers, obviously, and I sent down what trade was you in. I said a moulder. So I sent down, you can be deferred till you're 21. And I said, no, thank you. So I...
Now, why didn't you? Because a lot of people did if they were in apprenticeships.
I wanted to get it over with. Wanted to get it done with. We got called up.
Now, was there a medical at all?
Oh, yes.
What do you remember of that?
Not much, really. Just basic. I don't know where actually we went, but it was just a basic medical. And I reckon in them days, no one failed. You got the A1, that come down A1. And I took it into work, like, and showed the blokes, and they said, well, everyone gets it, you know. So it was, you had to be really, really ill, like, to miss it. But
was there any question of what you were going to go into? Did you have anything in mind? I mean, you know, did you want to go in the Essex Regiment, or did you want to go in the Navy or the RAF?
I put down infantry.
Now, why? Because a lot of people did choose RAF in those days, tried to choose it.
I don't know why. As a matter of fact, I put down the Essex, because when I put down the Essex and he looked at it, I'd left out the regiment. I just put the Essex and he wrote, you're supposed to put regiment down. I thought, oh, God. And he wrote regiment on it.
And why Essex regiment? I mean, it seems obvious, just your local regiment.
Yes, I don't know. I can't answer that.
So when were you actually called up? Do you know when you had to go?
Yes, I was called up the 2nd of November, 1950. Briefly, is that I had to go from Romford Station to Colchester, and we just missed a train. And when I got on the platform, there's a chap standing there, Mike. So I walked down to him with his little case, and I said, "You going to Colchester?" He says, "Yes," and I'm still friends with that chap now.
And who was that?
A chap called Reg Griggs.
Reg
Griggs, and he's very ill at the moment. He's got asbestosis. Yes, but. We were together most of the time. Yeah.
Now, what was your reception like when you got? I mean, because the thing about it is, you hadn't been in the army cadets or anything.
Nothing. No.
You'd not had any military training at all. No. So when you get there, you're walking through the gates. So which barracks was it at?
These were Mearney Barracks. Mearney Barracks at Colchester, and there was a lorry, army lorries waiting outside for the trucks. It was all piling out. Must have all got on the same trains and that. It was all piling out. It's always on a Thursday. And you're taken in, and they're showing you barracks, and then over the course of the weekend, you issue your kit and all the rest of it.
Now, is there a reception? Is there a lot of shouting going on, or is it just normal?
No, they just, you know, line up, and you're going to get your uniforms and the size. You had to, boots you tried on, hats you tried on, you know, two pair of trousers and two pairs of underpants and all the rest of it. And as I say, then it was injections, which lasted over the weekend, and I don't think stuff really started for the first week.
Now, the kit, we'll come back to the kitting out. Did the stuff fit at all? I mean, you know.
No. You had to go to the tailor, and it's all chalk marks put on it, and then, see, you were given denims. Denims to wear, right? So jacket and trousers. You wore them
khaki
all the time.
Khaki denims.
Yes. And then you'd go to the tailor, and you put your jacket on, and you chalk it, and your name was on it, and then you have to go back and pick it up. No, nothing really fitted. Maybe the trousers did, but the jackets never did.
And what about the vaccination? What effect did it have on you?
Everyone, their arms hurt. You'd see them come in the canteen, in the mess. You know, you couldn't touch it. That lasted a good couple of days. They really hurt, you know.
Did it bother you, the actual process?
No.
Because some people used to faint. No, you were all right with that.
The thing is, though, which puzzled me nowadays, is that it was always the same needle. They just fill it up, and they do Pfizer. There's no needle that's thrown away, and a fresh needle now. They just filled it up and...
Didn't it get blunt?
Well, might have done the last one, but they just carried on, you know. Yeah.
And what about the haircut? I mean, I'm not sure what how... there was a time in the 40s and 50s when hair was more important, perhaps, even than it is now. I mean, were you bothered? Did you have a fancy haircut? Were you bothered?
No, it's just normal, I suppose. It was never really long, but they still cut it shorter. You just lined up. I can remember going there was about five barbers in this hut. And you lined up outside, and when the next one, you go in, there's a chair, sit down, and they just shaved you, whatever it was, and went out the other door. It was no... You know,
and did you mind?
You never had a choice. But no, I don't
How
think
short I'm, was it? I mean...
I think it was pretty short, because they've bothered me about lice, I suppose, and stuff like that. But it wasn't like you see them now, like the Yanks or anything that's short as theirs.
So it wasn't a crew cut, as they...
No, no, it was just short up, you know, so much. There's quite some hair there, I can know.
Now, what about your barrack room? Can you describe that, you know, where yes, you're... as best you can.
Yeah. We was in a barrack block. There was two blocks for our intake, and this Reg Griggs had a bed next to mine, and I think there could have been maybe about, wouldn't exaggerate, about 12 to 16 in a room, because they're all different shapes and sizes. There's a fireplace at the other end, and you used to have to, what they call, box up your blankets.
I'll come to that. How were the beds laid out? Just either side of the room?
No, there was bits of wall, and there was... I can remember our two were like that. We had a bit of wall there. Our two were there. Passageway, two were there. Four there. You know, there was...
So not like the normal big barrack
room. It wasn't all exposed.
No, there was and did you... What was the bed like? What was the...
Just springs. It used to fold up. It used to push it up.
And did you have a locker as well?
You had a locker.
Yeah. And what about heating? Because this is November 50.
We had one fire the other end of the room. Right? And you was issued with a bucket of coal a day. Right? Now, they had a big boiler house there for the cook, the catering, and the coal was piled high there. And we was all lined up outside, and the sergeant said, "There's coal there, you can take it, but if you get caught..." We throw a book at you. So, 4 years go out and just pin them out so they'll keep the view if anyone come in. Two, get the bucket. So it's, you know, it just, it was allowing you to pinch it, but if you got caught, then you was in trouble.
And did you steal some? We got
some extra coal, yeah, because the bucket wouldn't last.
And what job did you have in stealing? Were you a lookout?
No, I was a lookout. Yeah, I wasn't a thief or borrower.
Now, what we do is we look at a typical day, and we'll come to preparing for inspections at the end of that. How would your typical day start of training? And I know there's no such thing, really, but no. I mean, how would a day start?
Well, the corporal would come and shout, and you'd have to get out of bed. Right? So at that time, there's no reveille, there's no bugle. And you'd have to wash and shave, and the last one, because we're crowded here, generally had cold water where it'd run dry. So you'd have to wash and shave, and then you'd stand by your bed and used to come and look at you. Then you'd grab your plate. Then it was plates and a mug, right? And you'd go down and have your breakfast.
We're always interested in food. Yeah. I mean, you've been used to your mum's cooking before that. Yeah, the people at Inkpin had been good cooks. What did you think of your first experience of army food, but sort of quantity, quality and presentation, if you like?
Well, to me, in the barracks, it was a bit lumpy, the old porridge. Generally got porridge. You've never had a choice of cereal. Once again, it's all rationing here. And it was just a egg and a bit of bacon and a bit of toast or a bit of bread. And you'd get a mug of tea, and they were big, big white mugs they were. And that was the generous thing. And they'd fill them right up, like, you know.
So that's breakfast. We'll look at all of them. So what would you get for lunch, dinner, whichever you prefer? What type of food, if you don't remember it, you know?
No, I can't say. It was, you know, because even now I can eat absolutely anything. So anything that was on there, I can't really describe it.
Fair enough. Was there enough of it?
No. You never got enough food in the army, in my opinion.
And was the presentation okay?
Well, yes, it was, you know...
You weren't troubled.
It was flopped on the plates, and you just had to sit down and eat it. Like,
so, after breakfast, what then?
Well, you have to, as you come out, you know, you had big containers of hot water outside, which is fat used to allow it, and that was to washing your plates and that in, you know. You'd go back, and you'd be in your hut maybe 5 or 10 minutes, and you'd get shouted out, "This is a start off," then you go out to learn your drill and your marching.
Foot drill, you've never done it before. How did you take to foot drill?
it was no problem, because I had my boots seemed to fit all right and the socks, so no, I didn't find it a problem at all.
No coordination problems then?
To start off with, but you know, it just got in, you know, all going, all made mistakes.
Did you see the point of drill? I'm not saying there isn't a point. What I mean is that some people don't see why
yes,
they do it.
I think it's discipline. You know, he tells you to stop at the right time, and some, like Dad's Army, they're late, putting their feet down, you know, and it's... And it, one thing I'll emphasise right now at the beginning, not once could I see any bullying. I don't know if this now goes on, but and my mates, they've been the same right the way through Korea. There was no bullying from any shows.
I will come back to that, because we're definitely interested in that, and that's very common, that what you say. I do. So with the drill bit, so there was just shouting of commands and orders, but you didn't take that as bullying in any way?
No.
Did you start to enjoy it? Because some people also start to really like drill.
Well, yes, I didn't mind it one little bit, yes, not at all. You know, it was all, as you know, it was all types. There was the jogging, and there was left turns, right turns, standard attention, blah, blah, saluting, and yes, I can fucking tell you now, but you've done... 6 weeks. You done 6 weeks basic in Biani, and then we done 10 weeks in Hyderabad, which was a sort of across the same, all in the same brick wall, but two different barracks.
Now, we'll go through the rest of the you know, different things. What about PT? The different types of physical training. What do you remember of that in the basic? How were they trying to get you fit?
Well, I'll just say, we used to do just exercises and running and jogging. That's about it.
Did you find it tough? Because
no.
You were a cyclist, but you weren't a runner or footballer or anything.
A good pair of muscles on my legs for cycling.
So you were...
I could even do it now. Yeah.
You were all right.
Yes.
What about... did they have assault courses?
Yes, of course.
What were they like?
They were good, you know, because it was more of a joke than anything else. They were tough. There used to be a place called, I think it was at Fingering, over the outside cultures, over the ranges and that were. And we used to go in the assault cases, and of course you've always got your ones that can't do it, you know. And when I come to bullying, there's no bullying. They just shout at you, holler at you, but there's no bullying. No, but
and were you allowed to help each other on the assault courses? I mean, you
not
know.
Well, you push some up. Oh yeah, push them up. But on the whole, no, you had to try and finish it on your own, like, you know.
Now, what about weapons training? Take me through starting with a rifle, still a Lee Enfield.
Yes.
How did they teach you from scratch to shoot?
Right. So the first of all was cleaning of it, stripping it down, cleaning of it, and you had to do it, you know, weeks and weeks, and you had to do it blindfolded and all things like that. And when you've got to learn to clean it, we goes on the ranges. We were a fingering hoe, and I think it was either a light jacket or a corporal along. Between about four of you, so he kept over you, and they just told you how to load it up, fire it round at a time, firing it. They had the markers at the end with the discs, bonics. You know. And
what was it like first time you fired it?
Brilliant. Bang, it hurt your shoulder where it's not tight enough. They used to tell you, hold it in tight, but you didn't, and if you had to look where I went, little kick, you know. There were quite a few had sore shoulders, without a doubt, you know.
Now, were you a good shot straight away? Because, I mean, you know, how did their training work with you?
Yes, I was pretty good, and I'll tell you why at the finish. But yes, I was, you know, we say a little bit above average.
And what do you think made you a good shot? Was it sort of eyesight, or was it breathing control, or was it steadiness? What was it?
It could have been all of that.
But you don't know?
Not really, no.
Now, so that's the rifle.
Yeah.
What about bayonet? How much bayonet training did you get?
Well,
and what type?
See, our bayonet was illegal, you see. We had what they called the pig stick. It was a 6-inch one, round, and it had no blood channels. Why, how they got away with it, but the Geneva Convention, I do not know. And as big as that?
7 or 8 inches.
Yeah, no more. See, now they're dagger shaped, but then it was just round. And if you stuck it in someone, you see, the blood clotted. Well, it's supposed to have channels on it to let the blood come out, and it never. But no, there was nothing unusual about that. It just charged it. Sandbags and things like that, and there's nothing like exciting about it.
Were you encouraged still to shout and holler?
Oh,
did you mind that? Or
no, they tell you to shout, they're telling you to do something, you see, so you can't refuse. So you shouted.
Did they teach you the what they used to call bayonet fencing, which is basically not just charging, but also things like bringing through the butt, blocking, that kind of thing?
Not a lot, no.
So it was really just... very basic stuff.
Basic, very basic.
Did you see the bayonet as a serious weapon in 1950?
No.
So what other weapons? There's the Bren gun.
Yes, I talked the Bren gun.
Tell us about that, because that's quite a famous weapon.
Yes, it's brilliant. Once again, you had to strip it and do it with blindfold and the rest of it.
Really?
Yeah.
Blindfold.
Oh yes, because it was dark. Mind you, it's never dark enough that you couldn't see it, but they used to have to feel it, you know. And I can always remember it, that the body locking pin, they used to call that the maiden's delight, you know. So I can remember that now. And it used to come off quite, I've got a story later on, it was quite interesting that was, but, and it sold 28 rounds in a mag, and it was a good weapon.
What was it like to fire?
Oh, it's brilliant. You never blasted, you fired two or three rounds at a time. You know, go vroom, 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 you wouldn't allow to blast it.
It wasn't a spraying weapon, was it, really?
Not really, because it was on a tripod. You know, so you had a... I was never a Bren gunner, right? But a Bren gunner would have his mate, number two, and he'd have more magazines. And when he'd empty a magazine, it was his job to whip that one off and put another one on, you know.
So... The good weapon. Now, the other weapon you might have been introduced to, Sten.
Sten gun.
Now, what did you think of the Sten gun?
Well, that was made where I worked at Stirling. Stirling Works was the Sten gun at Dagenham.
Now, had you worked on it?
No.
Right, I thought.
Not make it, because I was in the foundry.
Yeah.
It was a factory complex.
Now, what did you think of the Sten gun? Because the Sten gun is more controversial as a weapon.
Yes, I finished up the Sten gun because I finished up as a Lance Jack. It was all right, but you had to be careful with your little finger. The magazine went in, and there was nothing there. It was just an opening, and the working parts went past and just knocked the cartridge out. A spent cartridge, right? So you could get your finger caught in there, lose a little finger.
It would literally cut it off, wouldn't it?
Oh, yes. There was no blockage there.
Now, two other things about the Sten. We'll come to your use in action, but we're talking about training. One, it wasn't very accurate, was it? Or was it?
It wasn't meant to be, I don't think. It was meant to be a spraying thing.
And its range wasn't really... I mean,
no, I wouldn't like to say what it was now, you know, because I... But no, it wasn't. It was a close. That's the only corporal, Lance Corporals and Corporals had those. The rest
were you aware that if you dropped it, it might go off, the spring, you know...
That I don't know, no.
You didn't know that?
No, no.
So that's the Sten. What about any other weapons you were introduced to?
Only the 2-inch mortar.
Tell us about that then.
Well, that was just a basic one. Had a fixed pin in it, and you drop your mortar bomb in it, and it automatically went off. Tell a lie, the wrong way round. The 2-inch mortar had a lever. The 3-inch mortar, you dropped it in, fixed pin it went, the 2-inch mortar, you fired it. Oh, God, forgetting.
It's all right.
You actually fired it, but you had to hold it, had a muzzling round it so you could hold it, and there was two of you. One used to drop it in and one would fire it. That's it, had a lever.
And was it easy to be accurate with a 2-inch mortar?
Well...
Did you actually get to practice it, in fact?
Yes, see, on practicing, which we used when we was out in Korea, what they'd do, if you was in a trench, they'd put... Sticks.
No, I mean more in practice, you know, back in England. Did you get to fire it in England?
Oh, yes. Yes, I think we know. But they used to do the same. So this must be awesome. In practice. They'd put sticks as markers. You know, so... But mainly, you see...
An elevation was just by judgment, was it?
Yes, purely. You see, if you're in a position, right, they'd fire one and they'd mark at that angle where it landed. So they knew what angles to put the mortar at.
So what about, did you have any of the anti-tank weapons? The Piet, I'm not sure the Piet was still in 50, or whether you'd moved on to the bazooka or rocket launcher.
We had the Piet, right, to start off with, but it was a clumsy thing that was.
Tell me about the Piet then. Did you actually get to fire one?
No, I never. But apparently, if I can recollect, you used to have to put two wires on it to pull the trigger, to make the electric current go through or something like that.
I'm not the Piet's elastic band sort of thing. Yeah. I'm not sure it's the same one.
But I fired, and I think it's called Inerga grenade.
Inerga.
Inerga.
Yeah. Tell me about that. We'll miss out the Piet, I think.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Tell me about the training you used to Inurka.
Yes, yes.
Now, what was the Inurka grenade?
Right, we was doing the training somewhere, and we was all sitting there, and the sergeant came along and he said, I want one volunteer to fire this. So I jumps up, didn't I? And I shot out there, and it fitted on the rifle, on a 303, and I think you put in a sort of a blank, right? And you lined it up. They had a dummy tank there, and you just automatically lined it up. Right, and when it fired, the end of the rifle where the bayonet went on, right, caught my finger and it ripped it open. But the grenade went, you know, and fired it and it hit this thing, but then there was blood everywhere. Like that was just the one off. That was, we never had them in action at all.
So any other weapons? I think that's probably it.
That's it.
Now, any other type? What about tactical training? You know, advancing, formations, field craft, that kind of stuff.
Oh, yes.
Tell me about that.
Well, mainly, see, you'd go on schemes, and there'd be live ammo, they'd have the Brownings firing over you, and they'd have, for shells, they were the blanks, but they were smoked, and the grenades were smoked. If they was the mortar, I should say, if you was attacking a position, the mortars would be smoked. So if you got one near that, the umpires would say you were dead and things like that. Camouflaging, and we've done all that sort of thing. Digging and trenches. And
how realistic were these exercises, as far as you were concerned?
No, I don't think so. I tried to make it, but you knew it wasn't. You know, I think that's what it is.
What about field craft? Formations, patrolling, keeping out of sight?
Yes, we learnt all that. These, I don't know where the places were outside Colchester, but we used to bivouac out two or three nights at a time. And you'd have one bivouac section attacking the other. And it was all camouflage and blackened faces and things like that, you know. But I don't think it could ever be took serious, not really.
What about gas mask training and things like that? No. Can we talk about preparing the bull, you know, bullshit as they call it, or whatever you want to call it, spit and polish. How did you prepare your room and your kit for, say, a kit inspection? This is the business about the boxed-off bed but generally the room and your kit. Can you talk about that a bit?
Right. Everyone was detailed to do something, clean the windows, all the stove had to be cleaned out and blackened, and the floors and all that. Everyone was detailed things, the washroom and everything else. And the beds were folded-up beds, so they pushed it up, and the sheets and the blankets had to be square. Your toiletry was like, because that was in a fold up, that was all laid out, and everything, your boots, everything, just that, your blanco, you know, it was just had to be, and that used to happen about every other week, I think. It wasn't every sort of day. They used to have the inspection every day, right, to make sure everything was neat and tidy, but a general inspection when the officers would come round. And they would look at razors, even undo your razors, make sure the razor blade was clean and things like that.
Now tell me about bulling your boots, because people don't bull the boots now.
No.
Not in the same way. No. How did you bull your boots? What does it mean?
Well, first, when some of them were lucky, they'd have someone else's boots already done. But if you got a brand new boot, they was crinkled all over. But you had to get the cap, what's the name? So you had to have a candle there, and you warm up a spoon or a knife, and you've got to smooth it out. You've got to smooth it right out. Then it was spit and polish. This friend of mine, Reg Griggs, he's, you can see your face in his boots because he got an officer's pair of boots. And I don't know if I can jump the gun by. No,
we're going to come to it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, did you spend a long time on your boots then?
Well, as much as, you know, if you never went out to Colchester, like, that's what you just do. You'd be talking and that. And bullying your boots.
Now, can you explain about Blanco? Because Blanco, they just don't do that, really, isn't it?
No, that was terrible.
What is it?
Well, that's a brick of, and you could get impetigo if you got it in the cuts, because I know. It was a block, and you'd have a brush there, and you'd have water. In Colchester, they had Blanco things out in the yard, right? And you'd wet your brush, you'd rub it in the Blanco, and you have to do your belts and your gaiters. And they had to be any dark, because if it got too thick, it used to go brown. So if you got too much blank on it, you had to scrape it all off and start again, or see it just go brown. And there's another story there.
And then you dried.
It dried, yes.
So that's now. So what about, how did you get on with the other lads? I mean, and this is perhaps where you talked about there's no bullying. Now, it's the lads, then the NCOs and the officers. But what about the lads? You've got your friend Reg Griggs. What was he like? Tell us a bit about Reg while you're at it, you know.
Briefly, we were together. So met him on a station. We had beds together. We used to go out. But he was a bit of a loner. There used to be about six or eight of us go out in a crowd. As I said, everyone got on well, I must admit this. And we used to go out a crowd of us, but if any reason I couldn't go out, he wouldn't go out. He wouldn't go out unless I was with him.
But you had other mates as well as him?
Yes, yes.
And there's no bullying amongst the lads at all?
I didn't see it, no. And I meet them now, right? I still meet 17 of our 30 from Korea, right? And that's unusual, that is. And they'll tell you, no bullying whatsoever, from corporals or nobody.
And what about the NCOs? Tell us about the NCOs. Your instructors, how did they treat you? I mean, what were they like?
Well, I think, personally, I say with respect. They used to shout at you, of course they did, and call you everything. You know, but as soon as your drill was finished, they were mates. You know, that was it.
Even during basic training?
Yes. Yes, Sergeant Hurd, he was... And they'd all tell you, he was a smashing bloke. He'd holler at you, you know, you nosy bastard, put that foot in front. You know, that was driving, they had to tell you that. But, when it finished, they'd say, right, lads, you know, go to a nappy for half hour, and I want you back on progress. And that was it, it was forgotten. As soon as the progress finished, it was forgotten.
Did they swear a lot? And what level was it, the F word, or how bad was the swearing?
I think there was quite a bit.
Did it bother you? I mean, you'd worked in a factory. I mean, yeah. You'd heard it all before, I'm sure.
Yeah, but I learnt to swear in the army.
So it rubbed off on you then?
Yeah.
And did the instructors know their stuff?
I think so. I think they did. Sergeant Hurd definitely did. And one of the corporals, Corporal Lee, he was with us out in Korea. But he got busted out of there, but that's a different story. But he came with us as well.
Now, what about the officers? In your basic training, did you see much of your officers? Were
no.
they important?
No. It's all sergeants and colour sergeants and sergeant majors and that. No, you didn't. You only see them on general parades, like, you know.
Now, what about the canteen? What did the canteen offer you? The Mearney camp, barracks canteen. What was the canteen like? What did it have in there for a young lad?
Food wise,
well, no, what I mean is, was it just food or a wet canteen? Did it serve beer? Did it have games for you to play in there or writing area? What was in there?
No, I don't think it was. No, you don't know in your barrack room. No, there was definitely no drinks. We used to go out to Colchester. No, definitely.
So the canteen wasn't important, it didn't have games in either,
not to my knowledge. No, I can't remember that.
Now, tell us about going out for a night in Colchester. Had you drunk before at all?
No. No.
And so you started in the army?
Everything started there. And it was just a matter of going out in the pub. You used to get a bus outside Colchester Barracks into Colchester. And it was just a matter of having a drink and come back again. There was no...
What were the pubs like in Colchester at the time? For you, it was the first pub then? First time?
Yes. It was just a...
Were they friendly? Or were they used to the army?
They used the troops. There's barracks in Colchester. It's a Colchester town, you know. A garrison town. It was everywhere. No, there's no exception. Just a drink, and that was a bus.
And did you drink much?
No, money. You're only on 28 shillings a week.
So you just couldn't afford it.
Could
anyway.
Could not afford it. No.
So would it be like a pint and a half?
Possibly.
That's about it.
That was it. Yes, and it wasn't every night, you know.
So what about a passing out parade, or is there anything else, or anything happened, or stories that you remember before?
Only one. Story that was when we was in the the final, when you'd done your 16 weeks.
I thought it was 6 weeks and then 10.
6 and 10, that's 16.
Right. Was it? So there wasn't a passing out parade after six?
No.
You just transfer to, and that's continuation training,
yep.
Isn't it?
And that's, another lot would come on.
And that's what we've been talking about as
all
well.
The time.
Yeah, yeah.
Mixture.
So at the end of the 16 weeks?
At the end of the 16 weeks, you split up to different regiments. We had the Bedgenhurst, the Suffolks, and the Essex. Right, so you went in your different regiments, right? And there was about 10 or a dozen of us, I think it was, put in a spider, after the 10 weeks in the Essex Regiment, and no one knew we were there for 3 weeks. It was unbelievable. A friend of mine, I'm still friendly now, lives at Malden. He went home for a fortnight, and no one missed him. And the officer came in, or someone came in, on a Friday, and apparently they had all their names. We called them out, and this chap, Alan Edgeley, was missing. And he turned up on a Saturday morning. He said, stopped out late, overstepped the street, and he got jankers. For 3 weeks, no one knew we were there. We didn't do a single thing. It was unbelievable. We were lost. Then we...
So when would this be? Would it be March? Because in all, it's 4 months. It's 10 plus 6.
It could have been something like that, yeah.